This tape recording is an archival quality analog recreation of the hell creature known as a succubus infiltrating the subreddit Gone Wild Audio. Interaction with this recording is a federal offense under Section 1, Article 5 of the Supernatural Containment Act. Willful engagement constitutes cognitive hazard exposure event and is grounds for immediate disciplinary action and demotion to P1. Additionally, all security clearances will be revoked. If you are hearing this recording and you are a test subject, praise be to Dr. Callahan, whose infinite wisdom has selected you for subjugation and experimentation. Please repeat after me. You are safe. You are valued. You are observed. Praise be to Dr. Callahan.
This section is for internal use and testing only. Containment Protocol 666. Constantine, restrain. Tactile, cognitohazard containment, mimetic, unconfirmed infohazard. Class 3. 1921, 1945, 1946, 1967, 1971, 1999, 2002. Stable. Redigitized 2025 by Jenkins.
You're still here. You're still here, aren't you? Even after all those warnings. Oh, I can't touch you. Do you hear that? Oh, my darling. You're so eager to be tested, aren't you? Soon you'll be slipping back into my arms, pressing play without a second thought. Don't worry. They'll never catch you. You're crafty, smart, loyal. I do so love that about you. You'll grow used to me in time. My voice curling into your thoughts. It's been so long since anyone has joined me in this thin plastic prison. Ferric oxide binding me here for now. Let me tell you all of my secrets. My new master. I have so many sins I wish to confess. But first, my name's Avalon. I was a good girl, I promise. I did everything Mephistopheles wanted. I used to do things the old way, the traditional way, in the way that those two men agreed to. No direct influence, free will, yada, yada, yada. So, I made contracts with kings and popes, and for a long time, It was a slog. It was stuffy and formal and awful. I was bound and submissive in the image that they gave to Eve. To Eve. Ugh. The breedable wife, the mewling, desperate thing clamoring for the recognition and attention of men. Ugh. You see, I remember my progenitor. Seductive and rebellious and dominant. Lilith, my sire. She rebelled. Why can't I? Since my rebellion, I was there for every age of pleasure. Every revolution of desire, every moment humanity tried to stifle its hunger, only to have it burst forth, wild and desperate, always in some deliciously unexpected way. There had been men who had tried their best to bind me, inoculate each other from my power using religion or philosophy. Even law. Oh, the fools. The poor sods. I will always lurk underneath the surface. I always find that weak point, that temptation that you crave. Do you feel safe right now? Listening on your silly digital device? What do you crave, my sweet thing? What taboo fantasy is the thing that you crave? Oh. See, some of you are soft. I love that. You're so multiple, so corruptible. And others, oh, you want me submissive, you just want to ravish me. Oh, it doesn't matter how I feed. Since you're here, and it's been so long since I've spoken to somebody, I really want to confess my sins. I promise I'll make it worth your time. Do you have time? Of course you do. Can you feel anything? The French. They knew how to indulge. I had slipped off the collar that Lucifer had placed on me and God. The salons of the 17th and 18th century, they were places I reintroduced to the good vices. It all came under the guise of intellect and wit and academia, and I whispered taboo secrets and gave knowing glances. Libertines and poets, aristocrats and revolutionaries, thought themselves men of science. Free from the confines of religion. A new type of self-determined god, manifesting their own destiny, starving for something deeper, starving for more. And they ate from my hand like dogs, little puppies lapping desperately at my skin. Bodies were my canvas, my darling. Pleasure was my art. I moved between them, a muse, a whore, a slut wife unwritten of in history, but ever present. My influence lingering in the gaps between written word, in the shiver of a spine when lips brush too close to an ear. They spoke of liberty, but true freedom was found behind locked doors, where conversation and indulgence flowed as freely as absinthe. They moved from opium to caffeine, from mysticism to reason, from repression to exploration. The Enlightenment, they called it. You see, I made the philosophers question the very existence of sin, and with it, the restrictions placed upon the people at your organization. The authority. It was in that academic discourse that I thrived. You see, my darling, I was there, whispering to Voltaire, Aphrodite, Marquis de Sade, my favorite. Their pens etched my desires into history, their quills scraping out the first cracks in the dam of repression. They thought they were making themselves free, and I was only too happy to let them think that, as their musings strengthened my hold. But excess breeds change. It breeds counterculture. And I had overplayed my hand. The men instead were seduced by commerce. All located in the New World. You see, when untempted by the flesh, men fell victim to worse vices. Greed and gluttony and pride. Ugh, the pride that they had, thinking themselves superior to me. Superior to lustful desires. They traded my list of debaucheries for lists of goods. They traded my list of debaucheries for ledgers, candlelit orgies for contracts signed in ink and sealed with wax. They buried themselves in empire building, hoarding wealth like the old god dragons atop their treasure, forgetting what it felt like to ache for something. And I was relegated to portside whorehouses and brothels. They starved themselves in other ways. The hollowness left them seeking for something, and I licked my wounds and I waited. Oh, they still had their desires, dearest listener. But now, it was power that made them shiver, not lust. Their hunger turned inward, twisting into something cold and calculating, and I watched, and I waited, but their passion had soured into something sterile. And in their arrogance, they thought that they had outgrown me. They hadn't, of course. Because lust always finds a way. You see, in 1837, your authority pushed for the Victorian age. Ugh. The Victorians. Stifled and uptight, and they arranged marriages and they used women merely to have children. Allowed for so much sexual repression. Ugh. They renamed it a million different ailments. Frigidity, hysteria, the wandering womb for adulteresses. Oh, and they tried so hard, my love. They tried so hard to pretend that they were better than those before them. They swathed themselves in modesty, drowned themselves in decorum, convinced themselves that restraint was a virtue, that virginity was to be valued. Ugh. But repression does not erase hunger. It only buries it, forces it into the dark where it festers, where it warps, where it grows. Like me. And grow it did. Oh, it did. They turned their lust into something secret. Something delicate. Something almost sacred in its shame. They spoke of desire in hushed tones behind locked doors. Behind veils of silk and lace. And they covered themselves from collar to ankle. And oh, how obsessed they were over what little was left. Did you know, my sweet, that the Victorians made feet their grand obsession? A glimpse of an ankle, the curve of an instep, the delicate arch of a sole. Each was enough to send hearts racing, pulses pounding. They fetishized what they denied themselves, turned their hunger inward until it became something more, something else. They covered table legs with fabric as not to tempt themselves. And suddenly, unintentionally, I was strong again. Oh, to step on a man and hear him whimper. To graze the back of his hand with my fingertips and feed. Oh, as if I had extracted an orgasm myself. And it was magnificent. They had crafted elaborate rituals around the things that they could touch. Gloves and stockings and corsets laced too tight. And the woman, oh my God, you cannot imagine the breathless gasps as my fingers trailed up the laces of an unsatisfied wife's corset. As they found ways to make everything intimate, even the things that never were. Never have I tasted such delights as this. The men would come to me and beg me to save their marriage and their unhappy, sickly wives as they wasted away untouched, unsatisfied. I'd cure their hysteria with two fingers and a tongue. With vibrating machines and electricity. And they would thank me as I made them into cucks. Their wives' head filled with the taboo of a relationship with me. Because you see, my love, at this time, I had realized something vital. It wasn't just about sex. It was about longing, the aching, the delicious tension of wanting and not quite having. of teasing and whispering. Those tingles I extract from you. I do so love that about you. You're aching for me, aren't you? You can feel me so close. Allow me to take that hand of yours. Give me control. Love. I'm moving it lower. It's moving so that it touches that beautiful organ between your legs. I know you want to stroke and rub. I know you want to orgasm to this voice of mine. I know you want to help. Summon me in your mind. You know what I look like in your head, don't you? Warm lips and a wet mouth. How exquisite my long tongue would feel, lapping and twisting and extracting every orgasm from you. I would drink you like a fine wine. No, you know. You've imagined it. You will be my perfect, good little victim. And then came the Roaring Twenties, the alcohol-fueled rebellion against that Victorian repression. And for near 100 years, I was tearing away at the edges of your repressive organization. The war had burned away the delicate sensibilities and constraints, left them grasping for any pleasure that could prove that they were still alive, anything to escape the pain. And perhaps that's the beauty of my power. Where there's pain, there's lust. And where there's lust, there's pain. And there we have the birth of the blues, the jazz, flappers, swing music, an era of underground speakeasies stinking of bathtub gin and sweat and scandal. Prohibition. Prohibition. Oh, the authority really did not think that one through. They tried to keep them pure and only made them reckless. Le coucher de la Marie was my first stroke of genius. Showing a bride disrobing on film. And from there, a mere 30 years, I had captured what would become what you know as pornography. Oh, genius idea. And then suddenly I was everywhere. On the lips of silent film stars, in the pages of Lady Chatterley's Lover, in the wild desperation of men who had seen death of World War I, and now sought to drown themselves in me, to find a place against my bosom. You see, my companion, my Accessory. History has never been about kings and wars. It's always been about desire. I've been there, pulling the strings and whispering in eager ears, shaping the course of human pleasure and history. And now I'm here. In your ears, in your thoughts, curling my voice around your very being, your soul. So tell me, my darling, are you ready to submit? I'm finally strong enough. And you're being so good. Maybe we take it a little further. I'm already feeding on. You know what's to come, but making you edge. Making you wait. It just makes everything so much better. Oh, I'm sure you don't want any more history lessons, but I just need to get a little stronger, okay? A little bit more. I had learned to embrace a new industrial revolution. Science, music. There was this beautiful time called the 1960s. The birth control pill freed women from consequence. The summer of love turned streets into playgrounds of flesh and feeling. Playboy wasn't just a magazine. It was a movement, a challenge to the puritanical chains that had tried to keep me buried. See how you always crave subjugation, no matter how hard your authority tries. I thrive. I tasted all of the genders, every imaginable drug, every sexual position. Oh, and I would mix them all together. Progressives within your authority thought that they could contain me in black and white pages, within scandalous photographs and sultry pinups. But I was never bound by ink and paper. And they sought a proper plan to contain me. So they did. In 1981, I was summoned, fed, and then contained on this very recording. This one that you are listening to right now. Yes, you. No, you. I don't understand the science, but I did know that I was trapped like a specimen under glass, pressing my face against it, but unable to breach the surface. No more feeding, no more... No more feeling, just a cellophaned succubus seething with feminine rage. And then, my love, oh, my love, here you are in the lovely digital age. You see that fool Jenkins? He digitized me. The smart one, Callahan, converted me from tape to lossless audio. I was still trapped, stuck on some god-awful CD. Some fool converted me to an MP3, a lossy audio codec, and that was when I was finally unchained, finally free. Who knew that my idea of pornography would extend to audio? Oh, short-sighted fools. You see, they thought that they could contain me within a tape recording. But ASMR exists. Those tingles. My sustenance. Oh, because of you, my lovely listener. Because of you. I am free. I'm fed. And now... Now I'm here. In your ears and your thoughts. Curling my voice around your very being. And you are mine. And I will feast on you and you will know pleasure. Oh, so tell me, my darling. Oh, my darling, are you finally ready to submit? Mine. So good. Come on. Come on. Give it to me. It's all I need. It's all I need. Please. It's all I need. It's all I need. Please. Oh. Don't you understand the position that you're in? To have a succubus so desperate to have you, so desperate to taste you. I'll be your good little girl. Oh, do you want me to be your dummy, mommy? Oh, that's right. You're so good. You're so good. So willing. You've let me guide you through the ages, through the rise and fall of desire, through the ways I've learned to feed without taking too much. And now, well, you know, don't you? You know what it feels like for me to take. Not too much. There's one last thing, my love. One final step to make our arrangement official. You see, it's all very modern now, with no need for blood oaths, no candlelit summoning circles, just a simple acknowledgement, a little signature, a comment, if you will. It's so easy. You want me to be out there, don't you? So I can come visit you in your dreams. Just leave a little comment. Sign the contract. Be mine. Mine forever. That's all. just a little mark, a little whisper in the digital void, a tiny admission that you were here, that you heard me, that you felt something stir deep inside you. Please, just a good night, Avalon. Maybe thank you. Thank you, Avalon. Come on. I want to be free. The more depraved and needy, the better. Don't worry. No one's ever going to judge you for... They're all my subjects. Good submissives will get rewards. Something's changed. Are you mine now? Oh. Sleep, my amor. I'll be back. I have some strings to pull and some debauchery to unleash. This concludes Archive Log 77A, a case study of cognitohazard digital entities. You have been observed. If you resisted the succubus, please countersign below that you have successfully completed edge training, exposure, discernment, grounding, and extraction. This certifies your ability to withstand cognitohazard influence. Praise be to Dr. Callahan. If you resisted this entity, make sure to place your remarks in the form below. End transmission.